Okay.
Well, this has put me with another wide group of persons. Now, that council is responsible for working with the coordinator, Mrs. Salmini, and her two assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm a facilitator, I call it, because I have found in Marshfield, for instance, seven different persons who would like to be useful as volunteers in different kinds of activities. I also was able to suggest two what they call need centers, which could use others that I didn't suggest. I didn't get a need center for my people. But I've been able to do that kind of thing, as well as contributing what judgment I have on questions that come before the council. So I've gotten to know older people, another big batch of older people, and as a council member, I visit some of these need centers, particularly if they're having something going on so that people are anxious to have outsiders come in. Mm-hmm. So I go to Berlin Convalescent Center and to McFarland House and to Heaton House in Montpelier. But I don't go as a volunteer because I'm not that sure of time and transportation and things. I sometimes feel a little guilty, but they're finding the useful other ways, mm-hmm. so I let it go. Then, when I was at one of those council meetings, a young man said to me on the way out, would you be interested in being on our interim committee? And this has to do with Title III and Title VII. Well, I knew what Title III and VII were just as much as you do mm-hmm. in the field of the aging. So I said, well, what would it take for time and what kind of responsibility? And he said, well, not much time. We meet once a month for a while and the responsibility would be the kind you have here. So I said, I'd do it, thinking he was talking in terms of 3 months. And I've been over a year on the council, and I'm now chairman of it. But this has to do with the nutrition program, the Meals on mm-hmm. Wheels, except mm-hmm. we don't serve it that way, but that's what it's known as. Mm-hmm. And transportation problems, getting transportation for elderly people, those things. And that has introduced me to another batch, because that council is not the same as the council I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about half young and half retired. And some of those retirees come from up in Lamoille County, where we used to live when we first got schooled after we married. So that's that group. And the third group that I am close with is the Council for the Central Vermont Home Health Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not just older people. That's any health need in a home.
Mm-hmm.
And its purpose is to shorten the hospital stays or maybe even prevent having to go to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I was appointed to that by the select men in Marshfield because they knew the other kinds of things I was doing and thought I would be in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And Pauline Welch is on that council too, the two of us in this town. So, again, I'm working with a different group of people from a wider area, and half of them are over 60 anyway, and the other half are the professionals in the field, which is a very large setup. Well, somewhere along the line, because of these things I've been doing, someone thought it would be good to recommend to the governor that I be on the state advisory board for the Office of Aging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was appointed last October to this, which, again, I meet another group
mm-hmm.
of older people, some of whom I've met before,
mm-hmm.
from all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, my this is where my retirement has exposed me to how it's different.
Yeah.
Up until then, for years it had been college-age people and faculty-age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before that, it had been preschool, which I have organized three It had been elementary school, secondary school,
mm-hmm.
with my children, you see, and their friends. So I've run the gamut.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people here have special problems in retirement that you've noticed?
I doubt it. The only one, and this would be true in Utah, Nevada, Northeast South Dakota, and West Virginia, and Kentucky, and lots of other places,
mm-hmm.
but I think of those way off quick. Public transportation is so inadequate that is the major difference, I think. And it's the hardest problem to meet because we live way back. We're scattered. For instance, if we had 15 buses a day going up and down US 2, Lila Lamberton would still have problems getting to the bus.
Yeah.
And the same of Letty Perkins over in the Cabot area.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't now because I could still walk, but Letty couldn't walk to the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of taxi is prohibitive. So what the interim council, which is still called that,
mm-hmm.
is doing is trying to find, they can't do it everywhere at once, so it's a very slow thing, but finding some person, one car maybe, in the community,
mm-hmm.
where the man who may be retired himself
mm-hmm.
Will furnish transportation. Now, right now, we have grants that will help support that kind of a service to get started. They won't pay for it all, but they will help support it. So what is hoped is that if this can get going with partial support, then when the grant runs out, those persons who've been using it will feel it's been so useful that they can pay the whole amount. Maybe they won't go quite as often, but can pay the whole amount and use it. And I think that after we get the elderly taken care of, if there are some others that aren't that old, but some mother whose husband, where they have one car and whose
mm-hmm.
husband has to have a car to get to work, could use this same service.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping, and we've made some progress, but we're hoping to develop that. And I think that would probably be the one greatest difference over, but as I say, this would be true in any rural area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are problems that, like nutrition,
mm-hmm.
people have everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And places like New York and Boston are worse than Vermont because everybody can have a little garden. So part of the year they eat
mm-hmm.
better. Health, I think that the health of the average Vermonter, retired Vermonter, is as good as it is anywhere else. Because the medical services in the city aren't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they have clinics that are nearer, if a person is sick in bed, they can't get to a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be well clinic. I mean, they have to be preventative clinics rather than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some of those in Vermont. We're hoping to get more, but
mm-hmm.
we have some. And in some ways, the hospital service is so superior as far as elderly people are
mm-hmm.
concerned because the hospitals are quicker to get to. I was impressed with this once when I had a college counselee who had to have an appendectomy. It was sort of an emergency when she couldn't go home. And I called her mother, and her mother, I could hear her almost. Here was Plainfield, no hospital. We had to get all the way to Barrie and so forth, you know. But Kesa had to have it, and so she okayed it. And she said, I'll be up in the morning. And I said, why don't you wait till the next morning? Because tomorrow Kesa will be sedated practically
mm-hmm.
all day. And the next day will be Friday. If you come up Friday, you can have Saturday and most of Sunday. And she was working in New York. So she did that. So I took her over to Barrie the night when she went over, the morning after she came, and she kind of gasped and she said, "Well, you can get to Barry Hospital quicker than I can get to the hospital in New York."
Yeah.
You know. So really, in some ways, we have far superior sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then a lot of our doctors are basically general practitioners,
mm-hmm,
who have developed kind of specialties, but they're not like a specialist who's had to go through all the ropes to get listed.
Mm-hmm.
So a young doctor in Montpelier, young, he's probably 45 now, in Montpelier, is an internist, a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
His specialties are heart and arthritis,
mm-hmm,
so his specialties are older people by and large, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But I take, if I had to take my grandchild in a hurry and didn't know where my grandchild usually went, I'd take him to that doctor, and he'd say, "Well, now you know, Dr. Well, it begins with E, is where you should take him. I'll call and so and so." But I don't believe there's a doctor in Vermont but what can handle cases from the infant up. They feel more comfortable with the specialty, you know. But we can get places. Now you see, even if a case has to go to Burlington for very special services, to get from Montpelier to Burlington in an ambulance, it's only 38 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And an ambulance can get you there. The hospital has already alerted the Burlington Center, Burlington Hospital Center, and everything's all ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm,
so, and you go in and see the number of elderly people that are in these hospitals, and you know they're very generous with older people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean generous financially,
yes,
but they aren't limited. They don't say, "Well, we can't take you next week because we have no vacancy in your ward." I think it's true that a very large percentage of elderly Vermonters want to die in their own bed.
Do you think there's a particular reason, or is that the reason? What is
it's
that?
Because their fathers and mothers and grandfathers and mothers did, and because they've grown up knowing how to take care of sick people at home, and because, with Lila, she's lived in that house for over 60 years,
mm-hmm,
and she doesn't want to be carted off to a hospital to die.
Mm.
She doesn't want to be kept alive. I'm not telling you anything she wouldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to be kept alive by artificial means. She's in her 80s, I don't know just where, but she says she's lived a good full life, and she wants to die in her own bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find a lot of elderly Vermonters that have that same kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. That might be some distinction between men and people in other areas.
Because in the city, you know, I think there
it's
wouldn't be
a temporary
be very
bed too in the city.
Yeah,
usually.
That's
mm-hmm.
And I think now, for instance, I don't have any feeling about dying in my own bed.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, I don't want to have life prolonged after I'm really just vegetating or having to have very expensive artificial means used to keep me alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I share that with Lila, but I don't have to be here. And as a matter of fact, out of respect for my family, I think it would be better if I was where somebody else had to do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I'm sure, because much city life is transient, but I'm sure that the percentage of on the other hand, I think many city people would be afraid of going to a hospital more than a higher percentage more than here. Because here, if anyone in town goes to the hospital, everybody in town knows about it. Not gossipy-wise, but they know that, for instance, it lists them in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that so-and-so's gone in, and she must have had a recurrence. Or, now, I saw that Margaret up the road next to where Tim used to live. He was funny. Gould, Margaret Gould had gone into hospital. My thought was, oh dear, because I knew she'd been a cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she died the next day. But it was much easier on her husband to have him know that she had nursing care, that everything was done for her that could be done the last few hours she lived, because he has not been well for years either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Margaret isn't as old as I am, but she's a retirement age, she's a lower level of retirement. So there's a family that feel, I guess, much like I do. But certainly, if Tim had a heart attack, I'd get him to the hospital in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I was afraid it was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But they might be able to do something to make him more comfortable or something. Mm-hmm. This doesn't need to be on here. This is really just sort of conversation. But
to me, conversation is what I want to record.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any great thoughts. I want the thoughts that are there on a daily basis.
The other big thing with elderly people in Vermont is loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this would be true anywhere.
Do you think elderly people used to be lonely?
No, because they used to be part of other households. There used to be an old maid or a mother or a mother-in-law in many of the houses, farm homes particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was about 30 years ago that much was done about, said and written and done about fixing up a small apartment in a house for the mother or mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Or building on an L that would have a living bedroom and a bathroom and a little kitchenette so that she could be independent just as long as she was able. And many of those have been fixed up. I can very quickly count five, and I don't know how many more there may be that I haven't happened to run into.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I suppose there were lots of reasons for it. In fact, the geriatric counselor for mental health is running into needs for this kind of thing in her work. Because if there are three generations in a family, the noise is too much for the elderly person, and the elderly person is too much for the children, and the father and mother are in the middle.
But why wasn't that true beforehand? Or was it true?
You see, back in the days when they were on farms, even the grandmother was needed, was useful.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandfather, father-in-law, whatever, did chores all day long and helped with the haying and everything else. But now retirement is somebody hanging around. In many cases. I don't mean all cases, but many cases.
Helen, what do you think has changed? Why in the last 30 or 40 or 50 years has there been that change in the family again?
Well, if your father and mother came to live, you and David and your family, what would your father do?
Well, my father would find plenty to do. It would be the fact that they would never come to Vermont because they've never been in a cold climate.
No, but I mean, just suppose he could come.
My father is a doctor, and he can be working until he's 95.
Yeah, so he would associate himself emergency wing at the hospital or something.
Yeah.
Well, what would your mother do?
She's been ill for many years. Well, she would have nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens with a lot of these families right around here. The mother would not be able to do much or would not have much to do.
Is that because the mother's children are leading different lives than the mother did?
Mm-hmm. Partly. And partly because, with the modern conveniences, you can get a good meal on the table in half an hour. And it used to take anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, 2 hours to do that kind of thing. And our diets have changed. So there's not as much baking to be done.
Mm-hmm.
there's not as many time-consuming things. And the cleaning is done with the vacuum cleaner, and the dusting is done with some of these new sprays that don't scatter the dust, so it doesn't have to be done every day.
Mm-hmm. And so the little jobs where an older person could fill in just to
It used to be that I don't know about cities, but in most of the northern places, people wore knit socks, home-knit socks,
mm-hmm.
and home-knit mittens. And home-knit hats, caps.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person could knit, and there were five children in the family, they could knit all summer getting ready for winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then they could darn all winter and start some of the summer knitting, you know.
Yeah.
You see a lot of pictures of old homes, and there's a basket with knitting in it down. Mm-hmm. I've got a knitting basket.
Is this your basket?
This is my basket
right.
here.
Yeah.
I have Mother Pitkin's basket down cellar, but it's bigger and it would stick out more than just
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. The lifestyle has made it difficult,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that older people don't have to work so long to earn a living. Now, your father could probably retire and not be on the town, as we say. He could live if he didn't work, I mean, financially.
Yeah.
But he can work, and he wants to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as people now grow old, and there is Social Security, and there is a means whereby you can retire, they like to do different things,
mm-hmm.
you see. So they could have a small apartment of their own. For instance, if we had my mother and father here,
mm-hmm.
we could fix up an apartment down cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we had Tim's father and mother, we could fix up an apartment down cellar
mm-hmm.
that opens right out onto the ground out there. So it wouldn't be a down cellar apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We'd change the colors of the approach if
mm-hmm.
you went in from here.
Mm-hmm.
But we also would put in a road so that they had a dignified
mm-hmm.
door of their own, you see. So they could be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to live with people being dependent on
mm-hmm.
them. I say no one, you know, practically.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's nothing you can do to be take your share of responsibility,
I see. Yeah.
then you're
mm-hmm.
a dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how independent your thinking is, if you're living in a home and are dependent on that home, then you feel you must make your plans around their plans.
Mm-hmm.
And you see lots of letters written about grandmothers that are used for babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, grandmothers used to always, in the old homes, be babysitters if they didn't take
mm-hmm.
all the babies with them. And if they did, the grandmother took care of one or two
mm-hmm.
of the small children, and the mother
mm-hmm.
took the others, you see. But this spirit of independence now, of self-reliance, in some cases makes it important for the young people and the grandparents to work out an understanding about business
mm-hmm.
so that neither takes advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the time the children have been up here, I haven't been asked four times. And they came up pretty small. One of the last time, Chloe called and said, are you going to be home all evening? And I said, yes. And she said, well, the boys think they want to be left alone. They don't want a babysitter. And she said, if anything came up, I wanted them to be able to call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, they certainly call me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time I babysat.
Mm-hmm.
I went to bed and read. I didn't go to sleep until I knew it was the time Chloe and Belmont had planned to come home. But you see, this is another item of expense on some young people's budgets. They can't go bowl without getting a babysitter
mm-hmm.
to come in and stay home. There are just lots of reasons for for a lot of things, and you just wish they could be all smoothed out.
Yes. Yes.
I think there should be differences of opinion, don't misunderstand
mm-hmm.
me. I mean, life would be very dull if you didn't differ
mm-hmm.
in some of your thinking with somebody
mm-hmm.
else. But I think it's tragic when one generation feels put upon by another,
mm-hmm.
or when the wife feels put upon by the husband, or the husband feels put upon by the wife. He never has a chance to do anything he wants to do. She always has too many things for him to do, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And some of them feel this way, right. Can't you? Right. And I think this is a tragedy, and I don't know whether you'll ever be able to work it out. Mm. But I do know that things are being done. Well, it doesn't matter a lot. They're working on it very much because they have mental health clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And they have psychiatric counselors that can go and talk with you in your home, or you can make an appointment to meet you mm-hmm. somewhere. So that they are working at these things. And I would wish that more would be made, would be understood to be good for young couples to meet with a counselor as groups to talk about little things in early marriage
mm-hmm.
that would then not get to be mountains,
mm-hmm.
not get to be big things. If a girl thinks she's all alone with this problem, it gets bigger and bigger, and she doesn't want to admit it to some of her friends because it's admitting failure. But if there happen to be six couples together, and one of them says, well, I wish that sometime we could play games together, and practically five other girls said, well, I do too,
mm-hmm.
then you've got a place to start with both the girls and the boys
mm-hmm.
to analyze the situation that made them think. I haven't counted, but I could list, if I had time, a day or so, I could list the number of women over 65 who have said to me, I just wish my husband would play games or put jigsaw puzzles together with me.
Mm.
But one particular man I've known a long time, he was always a hard-working farmer, and he never had time to read what he wanted to read. And from what she said, I judge he sits down mm-hmm. after breakfast and reads till dinner's ready. You know.
Uh-huh.
And here the two of them are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a movie the other night. They're playing double solitaire. You know?
Yes.
He's doing his thing, and she's left to do the same thing she's done all her life without any variety.
Mm-hmm.
The two solitaries in the
mm-hmm.
same house.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me go back to something. Are you getting
mm-hmm.
tired? Are you
no.
slowing down?
Oh, I can talk.
Okay. It was something that was brought to mind when you said that when you first came to the Hill, you put in a lecture today, and then
mm-hmm.
two up the way put in electricity, and then the man in the middle found
it
hooked on. And other things that we've talked about have brought that back to mind. It seems that in some ways you and or you and Tim are initiators of things.
Well,
and then other people hook in.
I shouldn't have meant that just that way. You see, the house at the corner had electricity.
Uh-huh.
The drink waters had electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Someone over this way wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question was how to run it.
Mm-hmm.
Did the people up on that hill, the pie in the sky,
mm-hmm.
want it? And apparently they didn't at that time, but this house over here did. So it made it logical to run the line this way.
Mm-hmm.
And when we found this out, we said, how much would it cost to get the farm to our, the electricity to our farmhouse from the drink waters? I've forgotten, it wasn't a stupendous amount, but you had to pay something to get
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah, I think you had to put the poles in. They furnished the poles, but you had to pay
oh.
for putting them in or something
yes.
like that. And so we had it put in up here. And then, I don't know whether preconsciously or not, we, let's see, no, the line ran, as it does now, across here and across through those woods, and ours was taken off this line
mm.
up to there. And then the end of the thing, went over to Mary Ann lived. And so the other house could come off, and the post was nearer them really mm-hmm. than it was this house. But no, we didn't initiate it on the hill. But what we did was cooperate with the people on the hill that wanted the electricity. Mm-hmm. Because the more miles they put in, the more persons they had on the line, mm-hmm. the less expensive mm-hmm. per person the initial installment was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you had so many persons on your line, your basic was so much. And our basic was used up by our summer use of it, so it didn't cost us mm-hmm. that much. So, no, I didn't mean that.
Maybe, yeah.
I can see what you mean.
Right.